live from Long Island's oldest radio studio, WGBB, 1240 on your dial. It's time for Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. This is Al Barberino singing for us, and a song written for us. Listen to the words. It really, really captures what we do.
And
written by Paul Val. Captures our mission.
And it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Find our way. Let's remember that He loves us, and let's thank Him every day.
You know, last week we had Al Barberino here with us, and he gave us permission. We can talk over his singing. And the only reason why he gave us that permission is I hummed later on in the show and I let him talk over me. So we balanced it out that way. And we've got a full agenda again today.
Absolutely.
We are excited. We have with us Father Ted Brown, a Wassaman priest, our campus minister at LIU CW Post, and Rose Malfetta, a social worker. And we all need the help of a social worker. That's why we're here, Rose. We need your help today.
And it looks like we're going to have an easy job again today. John, by the way, this is John Palmer talking. I'm Anthony Giffo. And we're just two kids with love in our hearts for Jesus. And we want to spread that love throughout the island, throughout the state, throughout the world if we could. We just love Jesus.
And we found out that He loves us too. Don't they love you, Father?
Every day.
Rose? Okay, so don't be shy now. As we go on, we're going to talk a lot.
I found out something this week in prayer. I have to ask you, Father, if it's okay. I'll ask you later on the show. I always call Jesus my best friend. I'm just starting to call Him my brother. And I think He wants me to call Him my big brother. My big brother. I have to ask if that's okay.
Well, God is one of us.
You're now my big brother, Jesus. Thank you.
I don't know, at my age, maybe he's my little brother. I have to think about it.
You better let Al sing.
And it took our heart and he.
Because that's our mission.
That's our mission. And written especially for us, just for us.
And we're here. When I spoke to Father on the phone to invite him to come and to talk with him, he said, well, what's the show about? And I said, we're talking about people having a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, and that's Catholics. And it's almost unheard of. I told him I was a recovering Catholic.
And our mission statement is that Jesus wants to be with us, not only doing church, not only doing Mass. He wants to come home with us after Mass. He wants to be involved with our family lives, our personal lives, and our business lives. Isn't it wonderful to have our big brother involved in our business lives, and we can bounce off him questions that we have? That's our mission statement. He's just waiting there for us to call him.
And today, we're going to tune in all the dreamers. There are so many people who have a dream that God is somewhere out there and they're going to see him after they leave this world. But we're telling the dreamers today, we want you to realize and dream that God's right in here. And the power of that dream is going to change the whole direction of your life. And we have a song with Celine Dion. And it's a secular song written on the power of the dream. But if you put Jesus in the dream, it takes on a different meaning.
Deep within each heart, there lies a magic spark that lights the fire of our imagination. And since the dawn of time, people of all nations, there's nothing ordinary in the living of each day. There's a special part every one of us will play. Feel the flame forever, reaching less and scream of love. You bring us along with you.
Dreamer. And to me, the power of the dream is the Holy Spirit coming alive in you. And I got a question for all of us, listeners, Tony, you, me, Father Rose, and even Trevor sitting out there in the control room. Thank you again, Trevor, for all your work.
Thank you, Trevor. No candy, but thank you, Trevor.
but the question is, what lit the fire of your imagination to enable you to know that Jesus is truly alive in you? And you can jump in. Father, let's stop with you, because I like to hear a priest on fire.
So many things come together. You know, it's always a mystery how things come together. And from our talk the other day, I said, okay, I know where this is going, relationship with Jesus and everything. And I may get a little teary in this. It's such a personal story. I grew up in Boylston, Massachusetts, a little tiny rural central Massachusetts town, and the only Jesus I knew as a child was the plaster statue. We're a poor church. The plaster statue of the Sacred Heart, Jesus pointing to his heart. And as a child, I had a dream. And I was talking to Jesus in the dream. I have no idea what I was saying. And then Jesus put out his hand, and it was like the Disney miniaturization machine, and I shrunk. And he put me in his heart.
Wow.
Now, I noticed you were talking, and you said, well, Jesus is in our heart. Well, I'm sorry, folks. I'm in Jesus' heart.
Okay.
And that dream has stayed with me my whole life. And when things really get bad, when things are really falling apart, I go back to that dream. It was, somehow that was the initial experience of Jesus in my life.
Touching your heart.
Putting me in the Sacred Heart.
Wow.
And that has been kind of the theme song of my priesthood, of my life, helping everyone else kind of climb into Jesus's heart.
Yes, you brought tears to my eyes, Father.
I almost lost it there. I almost lost it.
You're allowed to lose it because Tony is a Marine, and he told me Marines can cry.
I said real Marines cry. Palmer, real Marines cry. And I cry a lot.
Father, is that how you became a priest?
We were a typical Catholic family of the 1950s. I didn't go to Catholic school. I'm a public school kid. There weren't too many Catholic schools around. And we were an everyday Catholic family. Got to Mass. Both mom and dad had great, great faith. My dad had polio. I'm pretty sure that he made a deal with God. When he was 16, the doctor came in and said to him, "You'll never walk again." And the story is, he said to the doctor, "You can't tell me that, you're not God." And he had to take the collection every Sunday at Mass. And I think he told God, "If you heal me, I will find a way to serve you." We could never go on vacation because he always had to be back to take that collection. It was about
how we paid the rent.
I have no idea, but and so the church was just part of our lives. My grandparents had bingo in their home to raise money for it, and when it was first beginning, and so it was just kind of the air we breathed. And early on, I just said, I want to be a priest. God planted that. I don't know whether it was part of that dream or not, but God planted that in my heart from early on. And I was at my high school reunion a few years ago, and one of my fellow students said, "We think you're the only one that ended up doing what he said he wanted to do."
Wow. How about you, Rose? What lit the fire in you to get you to know the Jesus personally in your life?
Father, I grew up in a Catholic home, so, we went to Mass, and, you know, Jesus was very prevalent in my home. But I think for me, it was early on. I was about, you know, 19, and I entered into a charismatic renewal prayer meeting, and all of a sudden, I met Jesus in a very, you know, in a deeper personal way, and I understood that the Bible, you know, was Jesus' love letter to me. So for me, it's really a deep, intimate relationship with my Father, you know, my Heavenly Father. And for me, that was very, very, you know, very important. And my walk, you know, during my life has been increased by having that, my faith has been increased by having that deep, intimate relationship. So my dream was to know my Father, you know, my Heavenly Father, to really know Him, you know, to really know Him intimately, to know that He speaks to me on a daily basis. You know, I can go to Him and pray to Him through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what ignited me. Once I heard how on fire that the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit can ignite your life day by day, minute by minute, that to me was life-changing.
And I know you go to Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, you know, and there are a lot of people, Catholic and non-Catholic, don't understand. What is that?
My perspective is of the adoration. Well, first of all, I've always been very, the Eucharist is very important to me. It always has been. And people say, you're Catholic? But you sound like you're very non-denominational. But, you know, the Eucharist has always kept me in the church because I believe and I know that the Eucharist is the real presence of God.
That's the basis. And that's the basis of our religion, is the Eucharist.
Well, it's even more than that. It's the sacrifice of the cross. He said, I'm going to give you my body and my blood. And this is the atonement for redemption. So when we receive, we're not, you know, we're taking that Holy Spirit power once again within you, and understanding what that means. It's the new covenant. It's the new covenant. And that's what it means to me. So it's always been really, really, really important to me. So adoration, of course, is, you know, where you go and you spend time in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. So I bring my Bible and God really speaks. And one time I was really, really praying, and I was praying for something, and I had the Word of God, and and I look up at the Blessed Sacrament, and there is Jesus' face and the host.
For you.
I was the only one in there. I was turning around to think, okay, the reflection coming from somewhere, but that was just, it was a little sign to me, I'm really in here, it's really me, and it's really real. So,
isn't that so wonderful that our God above us is down to our level by our sides, that wants to be with us and tells you He wants to be with us and He loves us so much? I think that's so awesome that our God is at our level and we can talk to Him and He answers.
He does. I just wanted to say, too, that last August when we had the relics of St. Margaret Mary here, we also had a display of the miracles of the Eucharist all over the churches. And we had a lot of people come through. And a lot of Catholics don't believe in the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and in that book. And they have all these miracles where a priest who didn't believe in true presence was holding up the Eucharist and start bleeding.
Right.
You know, so he's there. Very personal. Tony, did you want to tell us how you got into this?
Into Jesus? I got into Jesus through the Blessed Mother. I started developing the devotion to the infant in Prague. I started going to church when I was 13 years old every day, at night by myself. And my father never knew where I was going. He always said, where are you going every night? No, I don't think he believed me. And I just started developing the devotion to the Blessed Mother. And she just led me slowly but surely to her son, Jesus. And she didn't just say, oh, let me introduce you to my son. She just led me very slowly and very carefully into Jesus. And told, hey, hi, Jesus. we became friends. And that friendship took me to the Marines, basic training for the Marines, because it wasn't an easy thing. And I know Jesus told me, I'll get you through this. And when we had to do the chin bars, it was 12 feet high, I'm just a little guy. And I know he said to me, I'll lift you up, you'll get through it. And he did. Someone Marine was behind me and lifted me up to the 12 or 14 chin bars. And he just got me through every part of my life. And he became such a good friend. And now, he's my big brother. So how awesome is that?
And he's also a Marine, huh?
He went to boot camp with me, so he had a graduate Marine. And you know what? I graduated a PFC out of boot camp because of Jesus.
You know, I always had Jesus all intellectualized, all conceptualized. And I knew he was out there. And I could call on him when I need him, but if I didn't need him, I didn't bother. So what happened, this is after my first wife died. I remember lying at home and hearing my heartbeat. And I said, oh my God, I'm going to have a heart attack. Boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden the words turned into, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm saying, what the hell is that? Excuse me, what's that? You know, what is that? And I went to church the next Sunday, and they said they were having a prayer meeting. And I said, well, I need something. So I went into the prayer meeting. It was a charismatic prayer meeting. And I opened the door to the chapel, and the first things that hit me in the face were, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And it turned out it was the first night of a Life in the Spirit seminar, so I think he invited me there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to talk to you two guys, because you work with young people. How are they in terms of personal relationship, Father, especially at CW Post? How are they?
They're all over the lot. I mean,
like everybody.
Like everyone. And I think, Tony, you were talking about, Jesus is your brother, but that's grown from Jesus, your friend. And like any friendship, any relationship, it takes time.
It does.
And so they're just at the beginning.
Absolutely.
They're at the beginning of, just like all their friendships on campus, you know, they kind of think they see someone they want to know, and they check the person out, and they kind of visit a little bit, and they chat a little bit. And I would say at Post, that's where the majority of the kids are. We have some kids, I mean, they're at daily mass, they, whatever we're doing, they're there. But they're also kids who are a lot of fun. They're not, they don't walk around with their hands folded and, they play the guitar and they're into some sports and everything else. But somehow they've moved beyond just, oh, Jesus is in the same class with me. I kind of wave at him. No, they're together now. So they're all over the lot. And there are some kids that run away from Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're everywhere.
But they're hungry for spirituality.
Oh.
They need to know that Jesus is right waiting, just waiting for them and us to call him over. And he'll just come. It's so wonderful. I could cry.
I was talking with some of the kids in the leadership team were planning our spring retreat, and we always let it spring from them, and said, well, what do you want? And they said, well, how do you get to know God better? How do you find God? Now, that's what they want. We got into this discussion. I said, well, half of it is letting yourself be found.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it is say, find me, Jesus.
Here I am.
And one of the kids was a scout, and I said, when you're lost, what do they tell you? Stay where you are. And in a sense, you have to let yourself be found. And that's what we try to do in campus ministry. Find ways to let the kids be found.
And, we have a lot of saints, and people say, well, saints are really unusual people. And you have our favorite saint, my favorite saint today, Saint Peter.
Yes,
I'm just as clumsy as he is, and as whatever you want to say, as he is. Simple.
Saint Peter is Jesus fell in love with St. Peter, I think, the moment St. Andrew introduced him to him, because he said to him immediately, "You are my rock. And upon this rock, he's going to build his church." But St. Peter didn't, as John mentioned, didn't have such great virtues. He immediately had love in his heart for Jesus, and Jesus knew that. But he was a human being. He had frailties. He put his foot in his mouth so many times.
Amen.
He meant good. He just loved Jesus, and he just wanted to do good. He was a human being. We'll see that he denied the friendship of Jesus 3 times. And we'll see all the humanistic things about him. But still, Jesus believed him. To continue about St. Peter, there's a man called the Rock by Jesus. A man so full of love for Jesus, yet a man who put his foot in his mouth so many times, a man who disappointed Jesus by falling asleep when Jesus asked him to stay on watch, a man who denied knowing him 3 times, yet Jesus knew of his great love for him. He did not waver in his determination to make Peter the rock of the church, our first pope, the leader of the apostles. And in every biblical reading, in the mention of the apostles, St. Peter was mentioned first. He was always listed first in the Old and New Testaments, and was a member of the inner circle of Jesus with James and John. He's recorded more than any other disciple. Was at Jesus' side at the Transfiguration, the raising of Jairus' daughter, the agony of the Garden of Gethsemane. He helped organize the Last Supper and played a major role in the events of the Passion of Jesus. Peter was the son of John, brother of Andrew, who introduced Peter to Jesus. Christ called Simon to be a disciple and said, "I shall call you Kephas," which was the word for rock. The Greek word for rock is Petros. So Simon became known as Petros, or in English, Peter. Peter acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus responded by saying, "You are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." It was like Jesus knew that Peter was as solid as a rock and dependable. Well, Peter was dependable at the end. But like all human beings, he had weaknesses, which were demonstrated many times in the presence of Jesus. Several times by putting his foot in his mouth, many times in the garden, he was asked to stay watch and fell asleep. This happened when Jesus came back and he found that Peter had fell asleep twice. Each time Jesus went off to pray, the third time Jesus came back home, just as Judas brought the temple guards to arrest him. When Jesus was arrested, Peter, in defense of Jesus, head of the ear of the high priest and his servant, the slave. But immediately Jesus stopped him and cured the slave and he cast his ear. In addition, Peter followed when he took Peter away, but he kept a safe distance behind him. Earlier, he had promised he would never betray Jesus. Jesus did not believe his promise and said that before the cock crowed the next morning, he would deny knowing me 3 times. After Jesus was led to the house of the high priest, Peter was asked 3 times if he knew Jesus or was a follower. 3 times Peter panicked and denied knowing him. And the 3rd time, he heard that cock crow. Peter was remorseful when he realized what had happened. When Jesus was suffering on the cross, no one knew where Peter was. He hid. I don't think they ever knew where he was. Later, Jesus was crucified, and John and several women followed Jesus and came to him as he was suffering, but not Peter. He was hiding. He was afraid. He was a human being. It was difficult the following Sunday, but someone told Peter they went to visit the tomb and the tomb was empty. And Peter and John ran to the tomb. Peter was older, John ran faster, so John got there first. so he wouldn't go into the tomb. He waited for Peter. But Peter went in and was amazed that he saw the tomb was empty. The clothes that Jesus had on the crucifixion was folded up immediately. And then Peter started to be remorseful. He loved Jesus, he believed, but he knew that Jesus had risen. And you know what? Jesus died. He knew Jesus died for him and died for us. And he knew that when he was crucified, he had all of us in mind. And so Jesus, Peter, was hit with the Holy Spirit when Jesus rose and they met in their dinner. And the Holy Spirit came down upon the 12 apostles. And from that moment on, there was a new Peter. He was strong. He was determined. He was a leader. And he went out and he evangelized. So finally, he was crucified. But he wasn't afraid when he was being crucified. He told them, I don't deserve to be crucified by Jesus. Crucify me upside down. And so he was. So now, the key for the gate. The first pope. He's by Jesus' son. That's the short story of Peter. I got more I could tell you.
No, that's I love that. Character. Oh, I love him. But I love the fact that, you know what I guess about him? He jumped out of the boat to walk on water to Jesus and started to drown. That's right. Me. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. And then I drowned.
I left that part out because it was getting too long. You told me I had to keep a certain, you know, this executive producer.
But it's so the humanness.
The humanness. Yes, but you know what? Jesus and the Blessed Mother always selected, they never selected the triumphants. They never really selected, they selected the humble. They selected the everyday people.
We certainly do. We're going to change the pace just a little bit now because we want to get you into thinking and everyone listening, imagining. What would happen if you ever met God face to face? What would happen? So there was a song out by Mercy Me Music, and I can only imagine. Let's play the song and then we'll get to talk.
Let me tell you what that is.
It will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Yeah.
Bursting the eyes.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus?
Yeah. When you pray over me and you tell me that Jesus says he loves me, what do?
I cry.
I cry. I'm so happy.
How about you, Rose? What would you say to Jesus?
I think I'd be so overwhelmed to be in his presence and glory, but I would certainly thank him for taking my place and being able to have a place in heaven, you know, because of him.
Hey, you know what I'd say? Why do we have to suffer? What is this? Aren't you God, and can't you protect us? What's going on here? You know, maybe I'm impetuous and impertinent and everything else, but hey, you know, you're God. Why am I suffering? Why does everybody have to suffer? I don't know what his answer would be, and I think I better duck.
God
doesn't send it. But why do we have to have it?
Well,
I mean, what would you say?
I think part of his answer would be, I didn't even duck it.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah. That's a wonderful answer.
If he's our brother, that means he goes through everything we did and said, I didn't even duck it. So somehow it's all part of what it means to be human. And if he was going to be human, he couldn't get out of it.
What a wonderful answer.
There it was.
I didn't duck it. But I love that.
But you know,
Jesus didn't duck it.
That's right.
It goes even maybe a step further. Because we don't know the fruits of the reasons why these things are happening. We know the fruit of Jesus' suffering was to save us. But we don't know the fruits of our suffering. God knows, but we don't know.
Well, you know, there's a part of what it means to be Catholic is we also believe in redemptive suffering. That in Jesus, we see that they're somehow, you know, we can be redeemed through suffering. And that becomes all our part in learning how to love better. You know, maybe I learned to love probably at my greatest moment was when my mother was dying, and all I wanted to do was heal her. I kept trying to heal her. She was dying. And then just to be able to love her as she was, she pulled love out of me. And I think I'm a little bit better for having gone through that process. My mother's suffering helped redeem me, and mothers do that all the time.
Absolutely.
Well, isn't it true, the Bible says that, you know, count it all joy when you have suffering? I just heard this in scripture, and because it's in these times is when he protects us, and strengthens us, and helps us, and strengthens our faith. So we have to count it all joy.
Understand redemptive suffering, but it hurts, and I don't like hurting, and your God, take it away. So I go to him in prayer. I go to adoration, and you know what he does? For a few minutes, he lifts me out of that pain and say, okay, John, you be with me for a little while, and let me just take it away. It'll wait for you. Leave it outside the door. You just come in with me for a little while. I'll touch your heart and I'll help you. Okay, that works for me. Maybe that's like Peter, he lifts me out of the water.
A lot of the teams that I work with, you know, I encourage them, you know, to also go to adoration. But, you know, adoration is a mercy seat. You know, it's reaching, it's really like the throne room. You're entering the throne room, and there's so many healing that happens, you know, by being in his presence. You know, and of course his presence is everywhere, but to make that seat, you're going to send them to that throne room.
Hey, Kim, you know what it does for me, though? When I go into adoration, he says to me, you're stripped clean. You put all of your stuff out there. But I'm in this monstrance completely in the open. There's nothing between us. So come on, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. And then just be still. And listen. And listen. And I'll touch you. And I'll hear you. And he does. I've gone to adoration every day for over 20 years. And I go there for whatever time, an hour and a half. Sometimes I get lost there. But when he touches me and I listen, I write what I hear. And he does so many, says so many beautiful things. Just talking about, don't you understand? I love you. Yes, you're hurting, but you're going through the process of internal purification. So that when you cross over to me, we can just take you right into our home, into our love. It's such a wonderful, wonderful experience. Now, those who are not Catholic, who don't believe in the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, that's all right. Just put yourself in his presence in your heart. Even now, if you're at home, those of you who sent in so many petitions, put yourself in the presence of Jesus right now. He'll touch you. You don't have to be before him in the Blessed Sacrament. And if you believe that, as I do, as a dreamer, he's in you. Just let him come in. Let him come in. Father, do you have anything to add to that? I saw you nodding.
No. You brought me back to when I was celebrating my 50th birthday, and I ended up with the Taizé monks in Manhattan. And I was sitting on the floor with typical Taizé style, and all of a sudden it struck me, it's my 50th birthday, it's the Jubilee year. And all is forgiven in the Jubilee year. And I went into this deep experience of being with Christ. And he said to me, Ted, I forgive you of everything. Why don't you forgive yourself? And then I went through all the stuff I've been carrying for years, everything, all every mistake I ever made, and I just said, I forgive me. I forgive me. And at the end, I came back. There was just that experience. And I know this is imagination, but yes, as you were talking, but that's why God talks to us very often. And Jesus came back and said, now you know my forgiveness.
Yes.
But I had to, yeah, I knew Christ forgave me, but he gave me the power to forgive myself, and that's what often blocks us from God's forgiveness. If we don't forgive ourselves, then we're greater than God. It's idolatry. We're setting ourselves up greater than God.
And I'm a psychologist, and I see so many women who have had abortions, and they go to confession, and they go to communion, but they still are suffering pain. And they're still saying, I killed my child. That's what they're saying. And I say to them, just what you said. God's forgiven you. Now you have to forgive yourself. That's hard. That's very hard. But it's so important. Like you said, don't make yourself God. God's not an idol. Like Tony said, he's a friend. That's your
brother. Brother now.
Yeah.
He's more than a friend.
And he'll heal you and forgive you of anything. Of anything. That's really amazing.
Isn't that the most wonderful thing? That we know that our God, our brother, our Savior is ready to forgive us of anything? So why should we be afraid? Why don't we just ask him for our forgiveness? And those out there that are afraid, that sometimes when I go to give Holy Communion in the hospitals and people are afraid to take it because they haven't asked for forgiveness. Just ask him. Ask him, and he will forgive.
Why don't we do that right now? Every listener who's hearing these words over WPBB, every one of you, just sit down, quiet yourself down, and ask Jesus. Say, hey, Jesus, I'm hurting. I don't like the pain. I feel guilt. I've sinned. Whatever. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, please forgive me. And I tell you now, everyone who's listening, he'll reach out to you right now. He'll touch you. He'll touch you. In our Catholic religion, the best way to get that is to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. Don't be afraid. He loves you. He'll touch you. He loves you. He'll touch you. And he'll forgive you. And he'll forgive what you think is unforgivable. And the funny thing about it all, you think you're keeping that secret from him. He knows what you've done. There are no secrets here. He'll touch you and forgive you. And then the second step, if you're Catholic, and even if you're not Catholic, but if you're Catholic, receive the physical true presence in the Eucharist. Complete the circle. It's like hitting a home run. You can touch all the bases. And when you get home, you know you've been forgiven. And those of you who aren't Catholic, you can receive him in your heart spiritually. Why not? Trevor, you do that, don't you? Trevor is our engineer, but he's also a Baptist minister. And at his send your services, I can see him shaking his head. He doesn't have a microphone in there, but he shakes his head. And don't they come to you, and don't you offer this kind of forgiveness in your program as well? Same thing. You know, even when you said non-denominational earlier, he smiled in there because he's Mr. Non-Denominational on this program. But he's such... We're all one, that's right. We all walk with Jesus.
They showed us the Bible. Yeah. You know, they're really in the Bible.
Absolutely, yes.
That altar call is very important, right?
Yeah, right, that's Trevor? Right.
That's, they said, I'm now giving myself to you, Jesus. Yeah. And so it's very similar to us going up to communion. It's so yes, important.
Yeah. Yes, we are. And what that means... I don't know. Can you imagine if you're going to go to heaven and you're meeting Jesus and he says, were you Catholic? Were you Baptist? Were you Jewish? What was in your heart? What was in your heart? That's what he wants. And those Catholics out there who are listening, Trevor, can you play that one more time? Those Catholics who are listening, who've been away and really are mad at the church. For whatever reason, the sexual abuse scandal and anything else that could have happened in the church. We ask you now, open your heart. He gave me an image this morning when I went to prayer time. And the image was simply, you're like a rose. And you're opening your heart like a fully developed rose in bloom. And you're opening yourself up to my love. And I'm here, and I want to know something? I match every petal on your rose. I touch you. I touch every cell in your body, and I heal you. I understand you're hurt. I understand you're angry at the church, maybe at me. That's okay. But give me the anger, like Father said earlier. Give it to me. Pass it over to me. And I'll take it. I'll take it into my sacred heart. Or as Father said, I'll take you into my sacred heart. And I'll bring you home to my heart and the immaculate heart of my mother. And in that unity in love, I will set you free. So do you want to sit there all this time? Do you want to sit there and begrudge yourself? And be angry at me. Turn your back on me. Let me touch you on the shoulder. I'm tapping you now. Will you turn around to me? Come on. Take it just a little. Even if you open one eye when you turn around. I want you with me. I want to love you.
I'm praying especially for Liz today. Liz has Chiari disease, and we've been praying for her for several weeks. She's going for surgery. She's going for surgery this coming Wednesday. Where they're going to fuse her brain to her spine. And we ask Jesus, you told us she's going to get rid of the vestibular dizziness that she's had and the tremendous heart palpitations that she's had. We ask you, Lord, please follow through on your word, and for her husband Scott and their two children. I just want to add to that, and for all the wonderful people who have stepped forward to take care of their children, to give them money, to help them during this time while they're broke from all the expenses they've had. But Liz and Scott are people of faith, and we just love them. They're hurting now. And we ask you, Lord, take away that pain. Tony, you were going to say something?
I was going to also mention.
Please, Father, join in whoever you want to pray for.
I was also going to mention David, who's going through chemo and
cancer.
I think he's going to be okay.
Well, we've been told in prayer, David's going to be all right.
Yeah.
We've been praying for the past several weeks for two mothers who lost their daughters, teenage daughters and young daughters, to suicide. And we've been told that they're going to be touched. But you know, these are just samples. I didn't mention Solanas, Casey, poor Solanas. Every time I try to get him on the show, I forget about him. But I'm not going to do it today because I'll do a rush job on him. And we'll get Solanas on. Rose, did you have somebody you wanted to pray for as well?
Message that society is giving, and if they can't see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we just pray for all these teens that are really, sort of lost, and that they will find Jesus and find the truth, and that they'll have productive, healthy lives, those with eating disorders, and all of behaviors.
I'd just like to mention those petitions. There's so many people that are out of work, so many people that are hurting, so many people that are depressed. I just want to reflect a little bit very quickly on tomorrow's readings when Jesus told us that don't fret. God loves us so much, he will provide. And so just keep praying and just know that God loves you, and God will provide. I can guarantee that.
And Father, before we started today, you talked about the teenagers or the young people who are kind of lost in terms of sexuality, and we pray for them.
They get so many messages from the media. We're living in a time of lack of direction for young people. They don't see a lot of good role models. And I think it's a double prayer. Pray for them, but also pray for people to step up to the plate and model, healthy, loving relationships. Because they don't, they don't see that. And so we need to pray so that those people be strengthened to say, I'll let the kids know that, it's a struggle sometimes, but I'm devoted to my spouse.
And Rose, of course, does workshops on sexual integrity, so we pray for the success of those workshops, Rose.
All modeling Christ.
All modeling Christ, right? That's what we're called to do.
And that's Christ's job that you're doing, so God bless you. And Father, God bless you.
And we all are waiting for petitions to come in, and they will. And Tony?
Well, we have an email address for your petitions. It's listenup1240 at AOL.com. That's listenup1240 at AOL.com. We love to get your cards, your letters, your emails. We respond to each and every one of them, so keep them coming. We want to know, how are we doing? Are we spiritually fulfilling your desires? Let us know. We'd like to know those things. And we're stepping out, by the way. This is our second month, eighth week. So we're stepping out. We want to extend ourselves to the parishes. So if you have a parish you want us to exemplify, you want us to talk about, send it over. We'll be happy to talk about that parish. If you have something going on, let us know. We want to reach out to you. We want to reach out to the parishes. We know that Jesus is just looking to be our friend and our brother.
And we want to close our show with a song that really kind of fits the whole theme of the show. Open the eyes of our hearts to your love, Jesus. Open the eyes of our hearts. We're praying for all of our listeners that their hearts be opened. We hope. There we go. Michael Smith.
Oh, yeah.
A little rouser after all this quiet time. Trevor, we want you to see him too. You're going to dance with us, right?
And thank you, Trevor, for doing such a wonderful job. Thank you.
Your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.